Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Nasiri, and my goal is to help members of the military community thrive in their post-service career. Today is episode number 374, A Case Study in Curiosity with Anthony Spadaro.
On this journey with training others right now, you know, I hear some great things once in a while. And the other day from one of my folks I'm putting through the RBLP program, is I said, you know, he goes, we need understanders in the world, not convincers. He says, all too often we have people going, I'm going to convince you to do this. And he said this to me, and it was one of those literally moments where I'm supposed to be in the teaching mode where I had an out of body experience, and I had to stop. And I said, hold on, I have to digest this and write this down, because this is simply incredible. So how many times have we had people like, this is how we're going to do these things, convincing you, and hey, this is why we're going to do things. You know, Simon Sinek always says, you know, get to why. And that's the understanders in the world.
In episode 367, I interviewed John Wayne Troxell, who talked about his transition journey after serving as advisor to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and his nearly 40 years of military service. After our interview, he mentioned his friend Anthony, and I jumped at the opportunity to have a similar conversation. Anthony served in the Marine Corps for 35 years, serving most recently as a command senior enlisted sergeant major. We talked about his career journey, his work serving on multiple boards, and a long list of resources he would recommend to listeners. Most importantly, we talk about the vital role that curiosity plays in one's life and career. As always, at beyondtheuniform.org, you'll find show notes for this episode with links to everything that we discuss, as well as over 370 other episodes just like this one for free. With that, let's dive in to my conversation with Anthony. Well, joining me today in Honolulu, Hawaii, in the Arts District, my guest today is Anthony Spadaro. Anthony, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Justin, aloha. Aloha to everyone listening to Beyond the Uniform. And I think you could tell, we can go beyond the uniform. So this is such a privilege. Thanks.
Well, for listeners, I'll paint the picture, because behind Anthony, he is kind of like in a high rise overlooking the ocean. And beneath his formal business sports jacket is a wonderful Hawaiian shirt. And, you know, one thing we were chatting before I clicked record, and you mentioned something about aloha and really tapping into that. And the thing that came up that I didn't say to you in that moment, but it's almost that what I perceive as aloha, it almost feels, not, I don't want to say anti-military, but like there's almost like a stereotype of like buttoned up, formal, very structured military. And my interpretation of aloha is a little bit different. So could you explain to listeners,
sure,
what by aloha, and how does that fit in with the military vibe?
Yeah. Oh, Justin, that is such a perfect way to introduce this, because, you know, aloha is a very special word among the Hawaiians. And the reason why, it just doesn't mean it's that greeting, because aloha means love. Aloha means happiness. Aloha means the respect people have for one another. So a lot of times there's some controversy among some of the people here is how often or frequently should you use the term aloha. And really, they said, people understand when aloha comes from your heart. So when you're saying aloha to someone, it's really just, you know, a lot of times people would say, just say hello. But if you really mean it, say aloha, because again, it's that expression of love, respect, and understanding that it's a mutual agreement from two people. And if you're understanding it when you say aloha, so I'm saying aloha to you because I could see into your heart what you're trying to do for our veterans. So that's where that true expression comes in a parallel world. So Justin, aloha.
That's beautiful. I love that. Well, let me give listeners a very abbreviated background on Anthony. And I want to say special thanks to John Wayne Troxell from episode 367, who made this introduction. But Anthony is a leadership consultant, a strategist, and a veterans advocate. He is the former command senior enlisted leader as a sergeant major, having served in the Marine Corps for 35 years. He serves as the Vice President and Director of Development and Special Projects at the Robert Irving Foundation, the Vice President of Training for Fifth Principal, a consultant at Beaverfit North America?
Beaverfit.
I thought it was Beaverfit. And then my apologies. I lost an A somewhere in there. So he's consultant at Beaverfit North America and serves on multiple boards, including Emory Healthcare Veterans Program, Four Block Youth Impact Program, and now as advisor board chairman for Fit Ops. So let me make space. First of all, anything you'd like to add or amend to that bio?
No. There are people wondering, how do you do this? And I think, and I hope we talk about this today, is that especially for some of the transitioning veterans, is that you're so used to this life of go, go, go. And I think that's our lifeblood. I call it my heroin. And one thing, you know, you mentioned my brother, John Wayne Troxell. And if you notice, I've tag teamed. So if you look at John's bio right now, we're still involved with a lot of the things. So what happens is that when you find someone that you're concurrently thinking the same things, that gives you that impetuous to go, go, go. And I hope we discuss those items. So now it is so cool to be involved with these programs, because if you notice the programs, there's a common theme. A lot of it is a return to our veterans, their families, and even our active duty. So, you know, getting the call, and I know you've had Chef Irvine on, and you know, working for Robert is just a joy, and what he is doing now for our veterans, our families, but even more so, you know, FitOps. The other day, I'm excited with FitOps because again, it's a return. Four Block, what we're doing for our veterans. Fifth Principal is an amazing, and Justin, this is the point to the crowd, is that, you know, you're gonna have friends in the military, and that's what I think what saved me in my transition was the relationships. General Dunford used to tell us all the time, it's not just about relationships, it's all about relationships. So a good buddy of mine, Chris Greca, who's the former command senior enlisted leader for United States Central Command and a retired Army Command Sergeant Major, he got out, he started this company called Fifth Principal. And what Fifth Principal is, it's a company where we're trying to look at organizations and how we're gonna make them better one individual at a time. So starting with the fifth principle, being common sense. So we're doing some work there. So that really started when Chris gave me the call when I was getting ready to retire. Everything else exploded because he knew people in Beaverfit and the graciousness of Beaverfit, they gave me a call. You know, and then the calls start coming. But I think it's mostly because of connections we make while we serve.
I love that. I want to double click into that a little bit, because you had a very rich and varied career in the military. I read, you know, you served in every place and climate with the Marine Corps. And I wanted listeners to hear a little bit more about what was that like after almost, you know, 3.5 decades of wearing a uniform, having an identity, having a structure, and then taking off the uniform, setting behind the structure and changing lifestyles. What was that transition like?
Perfect segue, man. You're a maestro, Justin. And yeah, you know, one, does the uniform really ever come off? Or what is the uniform? And I really say, what's on our heart? You know, the uniform's just an identifier. But I think that was one of the things when in transition was, you know, everyone says, what do you miss the most? And I'll keep saying, it's the people, it's the people, it's the people. Or as my New Zealand counterparts said, you know, it's rangatira, rangatira, rangatira. The people, the people, the people. And that's what I was really, truly petrified in transition of, oh man, the people. But if you find organizations that are aligned to the people, your lifeblood is just established. So I call myself a psychic vampire, and I'm just leeching on this life force of folks. And that's what I would recommend. If you're so used to being with the finest men and women in society, then stay alongside. There's so many positions out there, not jobs, positions, where you could align yourself to these great men and women. And so if you look at these parallels between John Troxell's and the Chris Greca's of the world, and now what I'm doing is, and this is what we're doing, we're back with folks, and that's an energizing function, because after 35 years, and it was a blast. I mean, I look back, and I still can't believe they let me go that long, and the opportunities, and especially for a kid from New Jersey and you find yourself your first overseas assignments, those truly shape you in a maturation process. And I think if you talk to a lot of people in the military, it's those overseas experiences that really mature them differently.
I love that. And I love what you're, you know, two things that come through for me. First of all, the network that you cultivated in the military, it seems like that played a large role in what you transitioned to afterwards, but also recognizing both a strength and an affinity for the people, and then finding adjacent paths that allow you to continue to work with people and specifically continue to serve. And you mentioned this before we started recording. I wanted to ask you about this because you pointed out a trend that I really appreciated, this observation, and that is that so many veterans like yourself, they have a career of service. They take off the uniform, and that thread of service and giving back continues. And I wanted to make space for you to share any thoughts on that.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you. I think what a lot of times what we're seeing now are trend lines is that we paint our veterans by the same paint by numbers palette. And I think that's a disservice, and it's disgenuous. No one person is ever the same in anything. So why would we lump our veterans into this? And especially for HR directors. And one of the positions I've been working with is talking to HR directors on how to recognize who truly is this veteran. And again, could you paint the John Wayne Troxels of the world as the same one that got out after 4 years? No, I don't think so. Are you going to paint General Dunford, who recently retired as our chairman, as a lieutenant or captain that gets after 4 years? No, you cannot. But all too often we see this in society, is that they're all veterans and they're all the same. No, because that's like anybody. So I think we have to start addressing that as the big elephant in the room. But we have to do it in a smart way, because I don't want to take away from anyone's service. So any young man or woman that decides to raise their hand and swear to something bigger than themselves, bam, winner, winner. However, how do we start to interpret, though, that entire career path? So HR folks understand it. So point in question. A lot of times, you know, they said the people in the military might appear too rigid, too military. I don't think that's a smart move. For example, if you're going to risk taking a 22-year-old right out of college with zero leadership experience, and I can guarantee you anybody that served in the military for 4 years, maybe 5 years, we are going to have sent them to at least one leadership school. So I got to tell any employer, I'm already giving you the benefit of someone that has a leadership school for free. Or do you send someone that has worked for your organization for 4 years, do you send them to a leadership or management school? You know the answer. So why not the person in the military? Okay, they talk about older people in the military, say somebody 10 years competing against a younger person that they have to now be in a position of authority. So the younger person is over an older military person. How will the older military person react? I go, easy. They know what respect is. They know what mutual respect is. They're going to say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, to their boss who's younger than them. You know, don't be afraid that there's going to be some disconnect, because we've been programmed like that in the military. What I do warn you about, though, is one day when the military person does take over, however, in the interim, they understand mutual respect of individuals. So that's an important part. So I think, Justin, as we're getting this word out, we have to make people understand these different orders of magnitude.
I love that. I love the, yeah, I think that's beautiful, because it does show both that, you know, some of the commonalities, but also a lot of differences in perceiving groups and perceiving what people bring to the table.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, with the fit ops, how that came about. And for listeners, I'll add in the show notes my interview with Matt Hesse, also John Wayne Troxel, where he spoke about this as well. I really found that to be one of the more energizing interviews I've done, because I love the mission that FitOps has, but I also love Matt's own personal journey of entrepreneurship and getting to that. So how did your involvement with them come about?
You know, it's easy. John Wayne Troxell, you know, and you know, John Wayne served as our third senior enlisted advisor to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And I was very blessed because I served for John as the command senior enlisted leader for United States Indo-Pacific Command. And so, as you know, how our country is rearranged with combatant commands. So I would, you know, John was, well, my direct report as far as that chain, it's not a true chain of command. The chain of command, of course, then was my boss, Admiral Harris and Admiral Davidson to the SecDef. But John, in that unique role as the advisor, you know, we have an advisory role. And John and I, before that, we grew very close. And I, like I said, I tell everyone unabashedly, I love John Wayne Troxell for everything that he represents and what he's brought. And he's made me a better warfighter, a better man, better husband, and in so many respects. So that's why you always want to align yourself with like-minded individuals. So with John, you know, was transitioning, we're transitioning literally at the same time. And we're looking at all these opportunities. And John hooked up with Matt. And of course, like I said, you meet John Wayne Troxell, you're going to put him in charge of anything. And of course, Matt recognized the goodness that exists in John. And he said, John, you're going to be in charge of my first military advisory board for FitOps. So John went ahead and started looking for people to put on this council with him. And, you know, I remember I got the phone call and literally it was, John, you had me at hello. What do you want? I will do it. It doesn't matter. And then, of course, you know, you don't even know what's going on with FitOps. I had no idea about FitOps. Just John was asking, I said, yeah. And I'm quickly searching while I'm talking to him, like, hey, FitOps. Oh, wait a minute. Wow. And then you meet Matt. And if anyone can hook you right there, then I don't think you have a pulse. And to this day, when I bring my wife and Catherine, and we still look at the same video for FitOps, and if you don't get, in Hawaii, we call chicken skin. If you don't get goosebumps, again, you don't have a pulse. And what doesn't attract you for the goodness of what FitOps is trying to do to saving our veterans' lives and then giving them value, purpose, and meaning?
Could you share for listeners who might not be familiar with kind of like a board, what is your involvement look like with FitOps? What sort of work do you do with them? And also maybe abstracting like what, because you have so many boards that you serve on, what it looks like.
Yeah, that's, no, thanks, Justin. You know, and it's shameless plugs for these great organizations, because again, you know, I don't think we're only going to go with organizations that represent our values. So the first plug I'd say to any veterans that transitioning, and you're going to get involved with these organizations, they have to represent your values. So one of the big value purpose statements that I had when I was transitioning was I wanted to make sure involved with all things with veterans and veterans' mental health, veterans' physical health. And sometimes we forget about that. So I wanted to align myself to organizations that, one, were going to help veterans there, but also are active duty. So FitOps, what they're doing now is FitOps is a program designed by Matt, where we're taking transitioning veterans that want to receive certifications in the athletic industry, and they go through a boot camp. And right now we're in the process of building this incredible one in Brentonville, Arkansas. And the purpose of this is we're going to take cohorts of veterans on scholarships. It's a free move for the veteran. They're going to go through an intensive program with other veterans, with the best in the field. And thanks to John Cena for giving $1 million to the program to really give it, that literally lifeblood that you need. But more so importantly, now we're gonna take our transitioning veterans, they're gonna leave the program and they're gonna have the best certifications in the field as far as being athletic trainers. And again, they're gonna align themselves to things that they want to do. And one, we're also gonna work on their mental health. So they're just not going there to become a great athletic trainer. They're gonna leave there with their mental health better than ever before, because we have to recognize the fact that we have over 20 veterans a day that give their lives for, we don't know the demons that they're confronting, and we need to get after this. So how do we sit there and save them? FitOps could be one of the answers. And that's the same with I'm trying to do with the Emory Healthcare Veterans Program. Again, what an amazing program, Justin, where it's, again, it's free. The veteran just has to call up Emory and say, I need help. And they're going to put them through a two-week intensive program with, I might add, over a 60% success rate of saving them. And that's beating any other program where most of their programs are about 30%. So you notice this common trend is aligning myself to these programs, or with 4-Block, taking our transitioning veterans and making sure they're going to find positions that are going to be beneficial to them. Because what do we see right now? About over 67% of veterans, their first year in the job, they leave. And when we ask them why, they didn't find that value, purpose, meaning. An organization like 4-Block, they're going to assign our folks to senior mentors, and they're going to make sure they already had that azimuth of value, purpose, meaning, and put them in positions, not jobs, positions where they're going to want to stay again, like we did in the military. And so that, you know, that's a small example of why these unique boards, or why, you know, being with Robert Irvine, you know, and with Chef Irvine, you know, you saw the energy level that he gave off on this program. If you can't be attracted to someone's life force like that, again, you need a pulse. Again, what are we doing to ensure that our veterans are taken care of, and how do we sustain these programs? And you know, there's so many others that I'm involved with, and so pleased with what Fifth Principle is getting ready to do right now, with really just looking at Muddy Boots leadership. And we brought John onto the board there, and we brought John onto the board of the Emory Healthcare Veterans Program. So if you start looking at this, so John is with us at Fifth Principle. And how we're really going to try to make a difference to organizations. And you know, there's other things. I'm teaching at Marine Corps University. I'm doing one-on-one leadership training for Resilience Building Leadership Program, which is another great organization I'd like to talk about later if we can.
So I want to unpack a couple of things here. First of all, with one of the things that really hooked me with FitOps when I was having that conversation with Matt was not just the physical training component. First of all, it's incredible that he's creating this pathway that's free for veterans that can train them up and give them a vocation where they can excel. But my sense in the conversation I had with him was not only is it this day-long experience, you know, every day, the day-long experience of this physical exercise and learning about anything in this athletic space, but then at night circling up and the emotional component of being able to open up and be vulnerable and to just the breakthroughs that they have after this intensive day and then in sharing amongst like-minded military veterans was really powerful. So I love to see you involved there.
Thanks. Yeah, I would tell anyone listening, go to the FitOps website, watch the video, and then let's talk after that. And again, you know, that's the one thing that Matt has done brilliantly. It's called the Circle of Tears and what goes on in the evening. And it, what the stories that are revealed, but again, they're saving lives. And again, veterans want to be with like-minded folks that they could emote to, that they could relate to. And also sometimes they're the ones that are going to pick them up. And before they make a decision that could be life-changing, that's where this is the most important part, because we've found, and the studies are out there, if you have a strong physical proponent, it's going to lead to a strong mental health proponent. So when we start dovetailing the two, oh, by the way, let's talk nutritional aspects of this, Justin. They're going to teach them how to eat right. So when you put those three, this triad, I think we're going to make people a little bit better. And I think that's what it's a little bit time is just, you know, a little bit more each time how we get there.
And I also want to point out for listeners, Anthony pointed out multiple things that he's involved with, but he had a great example for each of them of a very succinct elevator pitch. And I just want to point that out for listeners because we've talked about that previously on the show, both as a elevator pitch for you as a person and what you're looking for, or for the organization that you're part of. It's just so nice that he had a succinct way that I could quickly comprehend what the organization stands for, what the benefit is for our audience. And that's worth replaying to just see these 4 or 5 back-to-back examples of these elevator pitches. Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you about is you have you know, similar to John, you had such an incredible military career. You take off the uniform and your post-service career is so abundant and full as well. How do you manage all of these, you know, in your bio, there's 6 or 7, 8 different things that you're doing. How do you manage to do all of that?
You love to serve. I mean, I think it's easy that we talked about this earlier, and I got to say the Albert Schweitzer quote that I think this is what a guiding light for me. And to make sure even say it correctly, you know, and Albert Schweitzer said, the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who will sought and found how to serve. And that's where I derive my happiness from, is serving for others. So I was privileged to serve for and alongside the finest men and women in the world when I wore the uniform. Have I really taken the uniform off? No. If this uniform now is the shield of armor, how do I help now veterans, their families? So, you know, it's just that driving force. And I don't want to leave it behind, because then I think then my 35 years of serving others in the military then meant nothing. So if I truly want a value, purpose, or meaningful life, it's going to be the continual service of others. You know, I can't find another way. And I've noticed, though, like-minded peers of mine that have transitioned, they're doing the same things. So if you want to look at this, where is this life force coming from? They're all jumped into this deep end of the pools. How can we make it better? When, you know, I could give you names of so many other great men and women that have taken the uniform off. They haven't stopped serving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is your day-to-day life look like? Is it, do you have like a day set aside for one of these ventures? Are you kind of doing all of them throughout the day?
Wow. That is a great question. You know, man, that's the poorest thing I had was time management, even when I was in the military, because I love to talk to people, as you can tell. And I do, and I would try to get into the office really early, because I needed some, I'd call it Tony time, because it was quiet, no one was in there, and I'd stay late because I needed some Tony time, because the other time I'd like to talk to everyone walking around and seeing everybody and just engaging. Like I said, I'm a psychic vampire. I need the life force of others. But even for now, you know, it's unique because we chose to live in Hawaii, and living here means I have to get up a little bit early because a lot of the companies are on the East Coast, and you have to respect that 6-hour time difference. So that means, you know, you're going to be up again about 4:35, but it is Hawaii. Passionate still about working out. And again, what's cool here is I get to continue my passion of surfing or stand-up paddleboarding. COVID has really put the kibosh right now on a lot of things, and we could talk about, you know, that. I'd love to go play golf, but I'm being pretty smart about that before I get around other people. But out in the water, I'm alone, I'm with myself, and I do my best thinking when I'm out in the water. But normally my mornings are packed with a lot of phone calls to the East Coast. And then as we transition to Pacific Standard Time, those 3 hours, I get a break usually after about noon. So that's when I might run out into the water. But then it might turn on again, because I also do this one-on-one leadership development training for this company called Resilience Building Leader Program. And a lot of my students are in Okinawa or mainland Japan. So about 10 o'clock is when I go and I start teaching again there at night, because it's already about 5 o'clock in the afternoon there. So, you know, it's fun. It's just, you got to take this energy and, you know, but there's also, I'm living in Hawaii. And if I want to take a break, Justin, you know what I do? I take a break and, you know, I take a mindfulness break, or I take a reading break, or I just sit down and my wife and I will go for a walk. And then usually though, she's looking at me, she goes, okay, I've lost you. Go back in there and you know, get back on there. So
that's the typical day. I love that. I mean, I love the sense of you being out on the water and recognizing some of your best thoughts come there. I'm a big believer too, that most of the great ideas don't come in the office. And I love too, these bite-sized breaths of fresh air, these mindfulness breaks where you're able to disengage and let the creativity return and the drive to return rather than just kind of grinding. I think that's wonderful, but it is intimidating to hear the schedule you maintain and early mornings and late nights, but it is impressive. Have you noticed in your time since you left the military, any leadership differences between the way people lead in the military and then outside of the military, adaptations that are necessary?
Wow, that is an incredible question. Man, that is something, even expose. I think if you got a panel of us together on one of your podcasts, really take apart that. And I think that could be argued in so many different ways, because one, someone could go back and say, leadership is leadership is leadership. And I always joke around, I said, everything I learned about leadership, I learned in kindergarten. Be nice to one another, respect one another, don't run with scissors. I said, when we go into the military, what changed? Be nice to one another, respect one another, and keep your finger straight off the trigger until you tend to shoot. So, you saw this as, where does the golden rules change? I think the more the aspects we have to look at is that, when we have people that truly care about folks they serve for, alongside for, it doesn't matter if it's military leadership, if you want to call it civilian leadership. I see that's exactly the same. But the problem is again, going back to that paint by number thing that we discussed early, people think, they see people in the military, it's archetypes. And how do we destroy archetypes, Justin? And so that's, I think, where I'm also involved now with teaching civilians leadership. A lot of them think they're going to get this military dose, and it's quite the opposite. I go, it's the exact same stuff we're doing. Who are the great coaches in the world? Who are the great people that have inspired people to be better? And that's where I keep and I'm talking now when I do leadership discussions with civilian entities, they think they're going to get this military thing. It's like, no, I said, this is where I want to turn it around. It's your people first and then your customers always. And a lot of these organizations now get punched in the face by me on this one. And I'm like, no. I don't see where organizations are valuing their people first. You always say the customer, the customer, the customer. Well, if you want good customers, take care of your people. So, and then I draw the parallels to the military, then you could say the same thing. We put our people first, mission always, for success.
I love that. I love the parallels to just finding the commonality there of the principles that served you in the military and in kindergarten and can serve you beyond that. Yeah. I would wager money that you are quite an avid reader, and I wanted to make space for you to share with listeners any recommendations around books or podcasts or programs or anything that you found helpful.
No, Justin, thank you. I was hoping I could get invited again and we could do a whole book review, but reading is, I always fear if anyone's a good Twilight Zone fan, I always feel like I'm that poor guy in the Twilight Zone that he finally gets to go and stuck in a library and he has all the books in the world and he breaks his glasses. And that's my biggest fear in the world, that I'll finally have all this time to read and I won't be able to, I love reading, and a lot of things I've done with the reading now too is for transitioning veterans. I've tried to put somewhat of a book list together, and I would recommend highly to any transitioning veteran or a veteran now that's out, read or reread, first off, The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. Because why? You want to sit there on that path, and I'm not going to give away The Alchemist, but I've reread that many times. But how to find that true path to find out what you desire in life. And then the next, of course, would be Viktor Frankl's Man's Search of Meaning. Why? Again, I don't want to give it away, but how to make sure you have this azimuth of hope to make sure that your hope is there and that you are going to be successful in all you endeavor, especially some of those that might be having some mental health issues within the transition. And so I think you could identify that. It would help. But, there's a couple others. I just reread again, A Country Such as This by James Webb. And that's my actual second favorite book of all time. But I reread it and it was amazing the parallels that are going on in our nation right now. And I think if the reader explores this book, I think it might make them feel a little bit better than the stressors that are going on now, where Webb paints this really cool picture, the dichotomy of influences during Korea to Vietnam timeframe. How do we face it now with what's going on in society? So I think the veteran helped there. You know, a couple others. Anytime you can read anything by Colin Singer, you know, the ones that wrote Ghostly or Burn In, you know, that's really incredible. For veterans, you know, I cannot say enough about a book called Echo and Ramadi by a good friend of mine called Scott Husing. But even more so, I just finished a phenomenal book called When the Tempest Gathers by Milburn, by Andy Milburn. Really a beautiful book. Current reading another book called, I'm a poly reader, so I'll be reading multiples at times. And literally I'll have multiples. Thank God for readers. It really helps your marriage because there's not books strewn across the house. And you could have multiples and you could pull them up wherever. And even, you know, you could put it on your phone. So when you're sitting there waiting somewhere, you could read it. But another book is Our Bodies, Their Battlefield. And this is The War Through the Lives of Women by Christina Lamb. Brilliant book. Really, it's a tough read. And I think it'll make you stop and look at what we're doing societal-wise on some issues. And I'm always going to throw this book out to anybody. Legacy by James Kerr. And I always like using legacy, especially when I'm doing my teaching with the Resilience Building Leader Program. Is, you know, he talks about James or Coach Wooden for the old UCLA Bruins. And Coach Wooden had this great thing. He gave a class one day. He coached one day on this, how to put your socks on. And how important it is to put your socks on right. Because if you put them on wrong, you're going to get a blister. If you get a blister, it's going to affect how you play. And if you play poorly, it's going to affect his role as the coach, and he'll get fired. So why don't we concentrate on putting on your socks? And that's a really great, you know, vignette from the book. But I use that with some of the mid-managers I'm dealing with now in this one-on-one training to try to say, okay, sometimes you need to stop and truly explain the process and why, so you get buy-in. And when you get buy-in, people are going to encourage the support, and you know that ripple effect. So that's just a taste.
I love it. And for listeners, in the show notes for this episode at beyondtheuniform.org, I'll have links to each of those books.
Oh, cool. I'll give it to you.
Yeah. Alchemist, Man's Search for Meaning, A Country Such as This, all of those will be there, as well as there's quite a few episodes we have related to this with FitOps and with John Wayne Troxell. We'll have those there as well. I want to make space, you know, usually I keep the last 1 or 2 minutes. We'll make a little bit more room for it, but what have we not talked about that you really want the military community to know? What is there things that, you know, knowing that you have people in the military, people who have transitioned, what else would you want to share with them based on your experience?
Yeah. Wow. Justin, thank you. You know, it's really cool. You know, when the instructor or the teacher becomes the student, and on this journey with training others right now, you know, I hear some great things once in a while. And the other day from one of my folks I'm putting through the RBLP program, is I said, you know, he goes, we need understanders in the world, not convincers. And he says, all too often we have people going, I'm going to convince you to do this. And he said this to me, and it was one of those literally moments where I'm supposed to be in the teaching mode, where I had an out of body experience, and I had to stop. And I said, hold on, I have to digest this and write this down, because this is simply incredible. You know, how many times have we had people like, this is how we're going to do these things, convincing you, and hey, this is why we're going to do things. You know, Simon Sinek always says, you know, get to why, and that's the understanders in the world. So this is what I was joking around when I teach, is I always said, hey, look, there's only two tribes in the world of Spadaro. It's the want-tos and the have-tos. And I only want people that are going to be in the want-to tribe of the world, not the have to. You know, these are the people, why are you doing this? Well, I have to. Look, man, the only thing you have to do is pay taxes and die. That's it. If you look at the essence of anything we do, and some people don't even pay their taxes. So at least you know you have to die. Those are the have to's. But where are the want to's in this world? They want to do things because it's right. And when the student was talking to me about, hey, he wants understanders in the world instead of convincers in the world, I said, whoa. It's one of those moments you're like, yeah, how do I get people to this goal of understanding what's right, the goodness behind decisions, why we should do things. Why should we sacrifice? Why should we self-sacrifice? Or right now during COVID, why should you wear a mask, watch your hands, and watch your distance? Why? You know, the empathetic, or how do we inject positivity during infectious times? So that's, I think, we really need to explore at any level, military, civilian. There's no divide there. This is just called being a good human being at this point. And that is a goal, I think, in transition is, you know, I tell people now, you know, what do you want? What should we call you? Sometimes you hear, and that was a little troublesome when I got out. Because, you know, when you call Sergeant Major, people all of a sudden, they build a wall up. And I don't feel like a mister. I don't. It doesn't feel right. And unless you know me, it's Anthony, Tony, or Spuds, depending on who knows me. So I said, how about you call me Coach? Because I really feel like I'm coaching world-class people to be better. And that's why I look at my new role in life. It's just Coach. And when I teach at Marine Corps University, that's what I have the students call me, and anybody else now, it's Coach. And I enjoy that, because that's what I feel like I'm doing now. I'm coaching.
I love that. So I want to point out a couple things for our listeners. First of all, I think, Anthony, you really exemplify curiosity. And one thing that I appreciate about what that anecdote that you shared, first of all, I love that quote around understanders, not convincers. But I can, when I put myself in your shoes, I'm like, man, if I had a successful 35-year career in Marine Corps, I'm in teaching mode all the time. I know a lot. I want to be imparting wisdom. But that anecdote really exemplifies how you are always learning from others, and you're bringing this curiosity even when you're in a teaching mindset. And I'm just reflecting, you know, for myself with listeners, the trouble I've gotten in when I think that I know all the answers, and when I'm always talking rather than listening and absorbing and learning. And I'll point out for listeners, one conversation I had recently in one of these interviews with Christian Sands, who's the CEO of a company called Skycatch, and he's raised, you know, nearly $100 million for this drone company. And he shared an anecdote in that interview where he'll get in the Uber car and he'll meet veterans who are driving maybe, and he's learning from them. And he's, you know, he's hearing what they're saying about entrepreneurship, even though Christian is this extreme authority. It really exemplified, similar to you, this sense of always learning and being open to influence from anyone.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that hit me, there's this great book called One Giant Leap by Charles Fishman. It was our race to get to the moon, but it's really a sociological study of what went on from the 1950s to the 1970s in America. And they're just using the demographic, or the demigod part of the moon part. But they always use a quote that this really hit me hard. And I think we learned this all from our parents, was President Kennedy was at the Houston Space Center before the moon program even started. And they're getting ready to go. And he went up to a janitor. He went to the janitor and said, what are you here for? And the janitor said, I'm here to put a man on the moon. Now, you know, we're still trying to determine the actual sources for that story. And if you Wikipedia it, you see it comes up to a bunch of things. But regardless, I've heard other people say that in certain situations, where don't discount anybody. And who can you learn from it? And Justin, that is just, yeah. Everyone has something to offer if you listen and don't try to be a convincer, but be an understander, you know. And that's the other part too, that if you notice what we're doing, and you know, a couple other things I'm involved with now is also getting involved with youth development. And I'm really cool with this cool program called the Youth Impact Program by Ricky Ellison. Ricky is a former 49er and a Raider. But he went into USC and he also got his master's in international relationships, and he created this thing called the Missile Defense Advocacy, but he had to give back. And what he's doing, he's going and he's targeting certain cities of how he's getting youth to get back into school through sport. And we're hoping to expand this overseas one day, where to New Zealand, we're hoping. I'm doing a lot of work out of there right now. But you know, those are the type of programs too, where I could also learn from the youth today. And Justin, this is what I like to say, is we need to learn to take off generational blinders. And we're, you know, and that's a natural thing to have generational blinders. You know, our parents didn't like our music and we didn't like their music, and you could go on. But sometimes you have to learn to listen to the youth because they become us. And sometimes when we keep these generational blinders on, we don't understand what's going on, you know, especially with them. And I'm not saying we become them, nor they have to jump ages, become us. Just take off the generational blinders and understand the differences.
I love that. I want to, I love the generational blinders. It really underscores this sense of curiosity and always learning and being open. And I also love that piece that you said about the wants to, not the have-tos. And, yeah. I was thinking, I forget why over the weekend, but about how, you know, our friends used to joke Navy stood for never again volunteer yourself. And I was just thinking, like, I mean, it's funny. I get it. I get why that was very true oftentimes in the Navy, but I thought, man, what a awful mindset to have where it's, you know, if you volunteer, you're going to get hammered. And it's like, so much of the richness that's come in my personal and professional life has come from selflessly volunteering to do something. And I love this sense, you know, I would recommend for listeners to maybe unpack some of these beliefs, because there's a lot for myself in the military that was the have to's of like, oh, I have to do this. I have to do this. And it just doesn't lead to me being more creative or more happy or more fulfilled. And it is just, you know, my view, it's 100% mindset. You could have the exact same constraints in your life, but the person who is moving towards something rather than away from something, it's a completely different experience of enjoyment. But also, I would argue the results will be dramatically better when you want to be doing something rather than you feel like a victim or being forced to do something. Yeah. So I really love that sentence that you gave us.
Yeah, like I said, the two tribes. What tribe do you want to be in, the have to or the want to?
Yep.
And I want more want to's in this world instead of, you know, I have to do this. And it doesn't matter. And again, in your service too, you know, it was really cool, Justin, is my last 4 years being at the joint level, you know, so with 380,000 soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardmen, the civilians, but our partners, that really was defining to me. And I had to go into learning mode. Because, you know, you come from this typical, up to that point, you know, 30 plus years in the Marine Corps, and now you're with other servicemen and women, and you find out how cool and unique and wonderful and understanding service traditions, the energy levels were incredible. And I'm sure John would attest to the same things when he was the SEAC. But I really derived more, I think, of my energy was from our engagement with the partners. And I learned more engaging with our partners than man, it was like a graduate school education every trip. And it was so, I can't do enough. But the friendships I've made. And so it's really neat now when I could sit there and you know, your friends live in Japan and Korea and New Zealand and Australia and Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Vietnam. I mean, I have friends there, and good people. And so that was really Singapore. I can keep going down the list of where I just had these just blasts.
I love it. Well, Anthony, I appreciate your time today and perspective. For listeners, in the show notes, we'll have not only the book recommendations, but one of the things I love about Anthony's bio is there's so many organizations that we'll link to in the show notes. And many times I hear from veterans, like not knowing what resources to consider. And what I love about all of these hyperlinks we'll have in the show notes is that these are organizations that Anthony believes in so much that he is continuing to give his time. He's continuing to serve. And so for what that's worth, like knowing that these organizations are vetted and are doing great work in the world. And so if any of those little pieces, I know we covered a lot of ground today, if any of those pieces with FitOps or with Emory or any of these resonated with you, take action, you know, click on the link, learn more about their organization, see how you might get involved as well. But I really appreciate your time today, Anthony.
Yeah, I just want to leave you this one thing, Justin, please. And I really want this to hit home, is that I always like to do a spelling test with folks. And I always ask them, how do you spell time? And just for the listeners out there, just think for a minute, how do you spell the word time? And I know which way you're going with it, and you're all wrong, because this is how you spell time, L-O-V-E. When you love something, you're going to give it time. And that's where, if you're passionate about something, you care about something, if you love something, you give it time. And the corollary is the same thing, is how do you spell love, T-I-M-E. So I just want to throw that out there, because this is why, Justin, what you're doing, you're giving your time, because it's a work of love, because you love what you're doing, how you're doing beyond the uniform to connect with the our most precious veterans, to sit there and give them this value, purpose, meaningful life. So Justin, for what you're doing, it's a privilege to serve for you. It's a privilege to serve alongside you. And I appreciate everything that you're doing, my friend.
Well, I will respond to that with an aloha.
Aloha. Beautiful. Aloha, friend.
Thank
aloha,
you.
My brother.
Beyond the Uniform is written and produced by me, Justin Nasiri, with help from our Chief of Staff, Steve Bain, our editor, Kathleen Dillon, and our Head of Social Media, Janelle Hanf. We are an all-volunteer organization and would greatly appreciate your help in any of the following three ways. First of all, spread the word. Beyond the Uniform has over 360 podcast episodes and 15 on-demand webinars, all offered for free. Help us spread the word on social media, at military bases, or whatever gets the resource in front of the men and women who need it. Positive reviews on iTunes go a long way towards this as well. Second of all, sponsorship. Beyond the Uniform relies on financial sponsorship to keep us going. There is so much more we'd like to do as well, but just don't have nearly the resources to do so. If you know of a company that would advertise in any way with Beyond the Uniform, please send them our way. Third of all, donations. If you're in a financial position to donate, you can find more information on the support section of our website. At our website, beyondtheuniform.org, you'll find over 360 episodes categorized by industry, functional role, and more. You'll also find both free and for-purchase resources that take a deeper dive on topics related to career growth. Thank you for your support as we aim to help members of the military community thrive in their post-military career and life.